This episode is sponsored by the ALW Communications Agency. Visit www.alwagency.com for all your communications needs. This is the Dreamers Podcast, episode 88. Today is September 20th, 2022. 10 mistakes to avoid on your wealth building journey. The dollar that you put in today is going to continue to compound and accumulate over time. And then you continue to invest consistently, no matter what's going on, whether the stock market is up, whether the stock market is down, you continue to invest. That is what is going to pay off over time instead of trying to find the right time to invest.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I am Annie's Wealth. I'm a financial coach and an author. I self-published my first book, Dream of Legacy, a guide to help dreamers reach financial independence and build generational wealth. In this podcast, I'll have conversations with experts and thought leaders who dare to follow their dreams. You'll hear about their journey and their money stories. I hope it inspires you, dreamers out there, to live life on your own terms.
Come on, dreamers, let's change the world!
This podcast is brought to you by Dream of Legacy. Check out dreamoflegacy.com for resources to assist you on your journey to financial independence. Before we get into today's episode, please take a couple minutes to go into Apple Podcasts, if you're listening from an Apple device, to rate and review the podcast. If you appreciate the free resources that are provided in this podcast, then the best way to let me know is to do just that. Reviews help the podcast be more visible, and it helps other dreamers discover the podcast. So thank you. I appreciate you. And now let's get back to today's episode. Hello. Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Annie's Wealth, and I'm very excited that you decided to tune in for today's episode. We are going to be talking about 10 financial mistakes to avoid if you want to build wealth. If you are in the wealth building or wealth accumulation stage, here are some of the things that you should not do. That's what we're going to cover in today's episode. Anyways, if you are a brand new listener, welcome. I hope you stick around. I hope you enjoy the show. If you've been tuning in for a while, thank you. I really appreciate you. So let's get into it. Number one, not budgeting. A lot of people believe that they shouldn't have a budget because a budget is restrictive. And I'm actually going to challenge that and say that no, a budget when used properly is liberating. Because think about how it makes you feel, or how it would make you feel when you know exactly how much money you have coming in and what your expenses are. And then you can actually, in your budget, make room for things that you value. Some things that are not necessarily going to help you on your wealth building journey, but you have room for it in your budget. So you don't have to worry about it next month, like, oh, why did I spend money on that? So you plan for it, you include it in your budget while you're still working on building wealth. So that's a win-win. Everyone on the wealth building journey should know what's going on with their income, what's going on with their expenses. And the only way to do that is to budget. Now, you don't necessarily have to budget down to every single dollar, but you have to budget for how much money you're going to save, how much money you're going to invest, what your expenses are, and all of those things, so you can have a good handle on your expenses and how much money you are putting away and investing towards your future. Mistake number two is carrying a credit card balance. Yes. So there's a myth out there that it actually helps you to have a credit card balance. It helps your credit score. That is totally a myth. The only thing that it does is it makes you pay interest, right? So you're spending money. You're paying for this money that you borrowed. So while I'm not against credit card usage, I actually think that credit card usage, when it's used responsibly, it's great. You get miles, you get points, and you get a bunch of free things, but you have to use it responsibly. And that means pay it off at the end of the month. Unless you are in like a very tight spot and you have no other option, the plan should always be to make sure that you have the money to cover the balance in full at the end of the cycle. That way, you don't pay any interest. You don't pay any interest, and you accumulate points, you accumulate miles. So it's all good. It's a win-win situation. Mistake number three, not investing. A lot of times people feel like this is not the right time.
The market is crazy right now. I'm not sure I'm ready. I don't know enough. But the great thing about investing, especially investing in the stock market, is the time value of money. The sooner you start investing, the better off you're going to be. So really, you don't have to overthink this. You don't have to overcomplicate the process, because a lot of times we believe that, all right, for me to invest, I need to invest in individual stocks. No, you can invest in low-cost ETFs or low-cost index funds. And so those will allow you to get in the market without having to spend too much money as far as the expense ratio is. And so, not to overcomplicate this, but essentially, I'm saying low-cost index funds or ETFs and not mutual funds, because typically mutual funds have a higher expense ratio. That means that there is actually a few human beings who decide which stocks to invest in, and that costs money. That can cost 3% of your investment portfolio or 3% of the amount that you have invested in that mutual fund. Something that is a lot cheaper is investing in low-cost index fund or ETFs, which instead of having a human deciding which stocks to purchase, what the low-cost ETF or index fund will do is they will track an index. So for instance, an S&P 500 index fund or ETF will track the performance of the 500 largest US companies. You can also purchase a total stock market index fund. So that will track all of the stocks that are listed on the stock market. So if you're looking for an S&P 500, you'll focus on some of the largest companies listed on the stock exchange. So an example would be a VEO, which is from Vanguard, and it's an S&P 500 ETF. You can Google and you can find different options for S&P 500 ETFs or index funds. If you want to go the total stock market route, then you would go with maybe like a VTI, which is also from Vanguard. I'm saying Vanguard, not because I have any affiliation with Vanguard. It's just what I use. So I'm sharing with you. Okay. And so start investing, and the dollar that you put in today is going to continue to compound and accumulate over time. And then you continue to invest consistently, no matter what's going on, whether the stock market is up, whether the stock market is down, you continue to invest. That is what is going to pay off over time, instead of trying to find the right time to invest. Does that make sense? So that's the third mistake to avoid: trying to time when to invest or waiting to decide when to invest in the stock market. Number four, spending money before you have it. So that ties with the credit card. We have to make sure that we have the money first before we start spending it. Because what happens when you spend money before you have it? You are spending tomorrow's dollars or euros. So you shouldn't be spending tomorrow's dollars, because you still have to go and earn those dollars. You should spend what you already have. That way you can start tomorrow with a clean slate and you have more money to invest. So always, always make sure that you have the money before you start spending it. Number five, not having an emergency fund. What is an emergency fund? An emergency fund is a cushion that you have in case things happen. And things always happen. Honestly, life always happens. There's always going to be an expense that you didn't plan for that will come and throw off your budget. So instead of digging into your savings or swiping a credit card or getting into debt, when you have an emergency fund, you can just go to that emergency fund, pay for that expense, and then you can work on rebuilding the emergency fund. Now, as far as what is the appropriate amount to set aside for an emergency fund, it really depends on your comfort level. So what kind of job do you do? How easy it would be for you to find another job? Do you have a spouse? Does your spouse work? Are you the breadwinner and the sole provider? Do you work for yourself or do you work for a company? There are so many variables. But at minimum, I would say, especially with the recent pandemic and everything that happened, shoot for 6 months. Some people will debate me on that. They'll say, hey, 3 months is fine. You can invest the extra three. So I wouldn't take as much risk or chances as someone who is single and living life. And so if that's your situation, then definitely you have a lot more room there. You can do less. If you want to do more, some people are doing a year. I would definitely not advise to do anything over a year when it comes to an emergency fund. Because think about it, the emergency fund cannot be money that you invest. It has to be in a savings account, and savings account do not grow your money. Most savings accounts have a 0.0005% return. And with inflation the way it is, especially right now, every time you have money in your savings account, it technically decreases in value. So you have to be very careful not to put too much in the emergency fund, but also having enough in case of an emergency. All right. Number six, leaving free money on the table. Now, what does that mean? Let's say you work for a company and the company offers a 401k plan. You decide not to participate. They offer a 401k plan with a company match up to a certain percentage, which most large companies offer. If you decide not to participate, you are leaving money on the table. So let's say your employer matches your 401k contributions up to 3% of your salary. So if that's the case and you decide not to invest, but the condition for you to get that 3% invested for you is you have to also invest 3%. So if you decide not to participate, you not only lose that 3% that you would get for free from your employer, you also lose the accumulation of that 3% once it's invested. Think about your money doubling every 9 years or so. You are losing a lot more than 3%. So don't leave free money on the table. Take all of the free money that you get, invest it. All right. Another mistake that people make is not rebalancing their portfolio. So this is an activity that you should do at least once a year to make sure that your investment are aligned with your philosophy, but also your comfort level as an investor, right? So if you are someone who is risk adverse, it would make sense to have a portfolio that is 95% stocks. Your profile as an investor, are you moderate when it comes to risk? Are you more high risk type of individual or low risk? I want to say though, if you are younger, you definitely don't want to be low risk. You want to take on a little bit of risk so that your money can grow. The older you get, you want to take on less and less risk. But what's most important is that once you know your investor profile, your allocation or how much you're investing in stocks, individual stocks versus index funds versus bonds and all the other things that you decide to invest in. If you want to put some crypto in, I wouldn't put more than 5% as far as like your retirement investing, because it's a much bigger risk than the stock market. But you have to make sure that at least once a year, you go back and look at the percentages to make sure that they align with your risk tolerance as an investor. And once a year is the minimum. If you could do that once a quarter or every 6 months, that would be even better. So number eight, not having financial goals. How do you work? What are you working towards? What are the financial goals that you're working towards? You have to be very clear on that. Are you trying to pay off debt? Are you trying to save your first 100,000? Are you saving and investing to become a millionaire or to have a $1 million net worth? What are you working towards? 1 million or more net worth? What are you working towards? Because if you don't know the goal, then it's really hard to stay focused because you have to have a goal. You have to keep your goals close. And that way you can work diligently towards achieving your goals. So not having financial goals is a big, big mistake. And sometimes it can be as small as I am saving for my vacation. Anyways, people have different goals. So whatever your goals are, make sure that you're clear on them. Next one is not tracking your net worth. So what is your net worth? Your net worth is your assets, which is everything that you own minus your liabilities, everything that you owe. For instance, if you have a house with a mortgage on it, your net worth when it comes to that house would be the market value of the house minus your outstanding debt, whatever is left on your mortgage. So you want to do that not just for your house. You want to do that for all of your properties, for everything that you own. You want to do it for everything that you own and for all of your debt. So your personal net worth. If you haven't done that yet, I encourage you to go and figure that out. There are some apps that are very helpful in helping you calculate it, like Personal Capital. It's all free. And you go in there and you just enter everything that you own. And then the app will ask you about your outstanding debt, and it will calculate what your net worth is. That is a very interesting process because it tells you exactly where you are. Because sometimes people have a high income and they are thinking that they have this great net worth. But looking at how they're spending their money, their net worth is not what it should be. Once you're clear on your net worth, then you can start setting goals on what you want your net worth to be. And then from those goals, you can break it down to more granular, smaller financial objectives so that you can get to the bigger goal. And then you can track your net worth. You can also use personal capital to track your net worth, whether it's on a monthly basis, on a daily basis, at least once a quarter, especially when you're in the wealth accumulation phase. It helps you make sure that your net worth is continuing to go up and is not going down. All right. And then last but not least, withdrawing money from your investment accounts, especially accounts that have tax advantages, but also penalties for withdrawal. For instance, a 401k. So there are specific conditions under which you can withdraw money from your 401k without having to incur penalties and everything. But let's forget about those exceptions. And just in general, as much as you can, do not touch it unless you absolutely need to, because it will come at not only the tax advantages that you would normally have, you would lose them. But on top of that, you would also have to pay a 10% penalty. So that's why I'm an advocate for the Roth IRA if your income is within the level for that. If not, there's always the backdoor Roth IRA option. But what I like about this is that it allows you to withdraw the amount that you contributed into the Roth IRA without having to incur any taxes. But there's a limit of how much you can contribute. But let's say last year you contributed $6,000 towards your Roth IRA, but this year you need to withdraw $3,000. And currently, because you invested your money and the money has grown, there is $7,000 in your Roth IRA. Well, guess what? The first $6,000 that you contributed, you can take it out and you're not going to get charged for it. You're not going to get penalized for it. You're not going to have to pay taxes on it. Now, if you want to withdraw the additional $1,000 that your account grew by before retirement, then yes, then you would pay taxes. So as much as possible, because we are trying to accumulate wealth, as much as possible, let's try to stay away from withdrawing from our investment accounts. That's it. That's it, guys. Those are 10 very common financial mistakes that people make on their wealth building journey. And I hope that you don't make them. So just to recap, we have not having a budget, carrying a credit card balance, not investing or waiting to start investing, or trying to time the market. That's all one mistake. Spending money before you have it, leaving free money on the table, not rebalancing your portfolio at least once a year, not having financial goals, not tracking your net worth, and withdrawing from your retirement accounts. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I can't wait to see you back here next week for another episode of the Dreamers Podcast. All right, Annie's Wealth here. Checking out.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Dreamers Podcast. You can find the episode show notes and all of the links mentioned at dreamoflegacy.com. If you liked today's episode, here's what you can do to support me and help more dreamers discover the podcast. Follow the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate and review the podcast to help the podcast gain more visibility. Share the podcast with your family, friends, and coworkers. And if you really enjoyed today's episode, please take a second to tag me at thedreamers.podcast on Instagram and let me know what you liked about today's episode. All right, dreamers, that's it for today. I will see you back here next week for another episode of the Dreamers Podcast.
Okay, dreamers, time to build this legacy.
This podcast is for general information purposes only. It is not intended to provide any tax, legal, financial planning, insurance, accounting, investment, or any other kind of professional advice or services. Please consult with an appropriate tax, financial, or legal professional to receive appropriate advice based on your situation.
Sunday Skincare Day is one of the ways I keep my sanity in these crazy times. Jumino is an all-natural, Black-owned skincare brand carefully handcrafted by parents who could not find the proper care solutions to address their family skin problems. All Jumino products are made of organic and high-quality ingredients, meticulously chosen to give your skin the smooth results and the glow it deserves.